Pianist Jonathan Biss is joining us for 3 days of music by and conversation about composer Robert Schumann. Jonathan is in the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. And Jonathan, welcome back.
Hello again.
Now, these days, when we talk about classical music or concert music, to a large extent, we mean music of the past. We revere composers of the past, people like Bach and Mozart and Beethoven. But in their own time, these were composers who were very much about the now and the new. And Jonathan, you say that Robert Schumann was a kind of pivot point for this. How so?
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the line that begins with Haydn and goes through Mozart and Beethoven to Schubert, there doesn't seem to have been an element of intimidation. It would have been understandable if, after 27 Mozart piano concertos, Beethoven had said, I can't do that, but instead he wrote those five concerti. By the time Schumann comes along, you can see a real fear of treading where they had. Schumann was someone who wrote that he wanted to build a monument to Beethoven. Composers until that point did not talk about paying homage to their predecessors. That's a new thing that happens just when Schumann comes of age.
And 1836, this is just a few years, 9 years after Beethoven had died, Schumann is talking about building a monument to Beethoven, and he also builds kind of a musical monument to Beethoven. I think you know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, it could be only one thing. The Schumann Fantasy, which is maybe his most extraordinary work, the whole thing, but the first movement in particular, is really not about anything except Beethoven.
How so?
Well, at the very end, there is a quotation of Beethoven which comes from An die ferne Geliebte.
Which is a song cycle by
Beethoven.
Yes,
it's a song cycle to the distant beloved. The theme comes at the end, but it is hinted at constantly throughout the movement.
I wonder if you could show us the quote, and then how does Schumann refer to that?
Well, the quote is An die ferne Geliebte. And this appears virtually unmodified at the very end of the first movement of the Schumann Fantasy. Almost note for note the same. And then if you reach farther and farther back into the fantasy, you find increasingly undefined versions of it. The previous one is going back a bit further, there's, and the very beginning of the piece has, which is the most freeform, or maybe I would say nebulous, of them all. It's like when the Beethoven quotation arrives at the end, it gives the piece an organizing principle which we didn't quite realize was there until that point. And I mean, what makes it even more marvelous is that the words of the Beethoven song that Schumann's quoting are, "Take these songs, then, that I sang to you, beloved," which I just think is so wonderful.
And Robert Schumann does take that line and twists it and turns it. And it's interesting the way it unfolds. It's like a form taking shape out of the clouds, a little bit more clear every time. And then finally, in full personification, really a quote, finally, by the time we get to the very end of the movement.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. This opening movement from the Fantasy in C major, a piece written in 1836 by Robert Schumann. This is just 9 years after the death of Beethoven. Jonathan Biss at the piano in the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. music that seems to be restless, searching, looking for something for 4, 6, 8 minutes, it finds that something in a sweet quote from Beethoven. It's the opening movement from the Fantasy in C Major by Robert Schumann. Jonathan Biss at the piano in the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. Jonathan, amazing performance of that piece. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right before you played that, you talked about how Schumann refers over and over in that movement to a line of music by Beethoven. Then he finally quotes it outright, a line from Beethoven's set of songs called An die ferne Geliebte. You were also making the case, Jonathan, that Schumann was the first in the line of composers of Western art music to revere the past in this way, to look back and say, let's memorialize this man and his work. None of us will ever do what he did. Yeah. At the same time, Schumann was very much about looking forward.
It's not stuck in the past, but it has a deep nostalgia for it. And that's what I think is new. I mean, Schubert revered Beethoven, Beethoven revered Mozart, but they didn't want to be them. And I just want to add that it's particularly moving, if you look at it in the context of his own personality, that, you know, he looked over his shoulder, thought the people who had come before him were greater than he was. And this is already a person who was enormously insecure. And if you put those things together, it's really... I think it helps you understand a lot of about his emotional profile.
And this is a guy who wanted to be a pianist, didn't make it as a pianist, then injured one of his fingers and couldn't play the piano anymore, didn't make much money off his compositions, was really having a tough time finding his way in the world.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing that happened in Schumann's life that was going to make him feel a little bit more robust about himself. He was unlike anyone else. He was a dreamer, and he couldn't help but go his own way, and the world wasn't entirely ready for that way.
You are such a fan of music by Robert Schumann. It's been a treat talking with you these last 3 days, but this is just the beginning for you. You're about to launch into an 8-month-long project called Under the Influence. Tell me about this project.
Well, because I find that even people who really do love Schumann's music tend to think that he was this kind of secondary or maybe peripheral figure in musical history, I wanted to put together a series of programs which really try to look at him at the center of the musical world, certainly at the center of his musical world. And as I started to conceive of the programs, I realized that there's just so many essential qualities in Schumann that became essential to music afterwards that you don't find when you listen to, you know, to Bach or to Mozart or Beethoven or even to Schubert, I would say.
So Schumann under the influence of some composers and then many composers after that under the influence of Robert Schumann. Lots of concerts getting underway. And what a pleasure having you with us for 3 days of music by and conversation about Robert Schumann here on PT. Jonathan Biss, thank you so much.
Thank you. Pleasure for me as well.